Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to today's program. The theme is going to be the law of karma, also called the law of cause and effect. In the Bible, it's described as you sow, so shall you reap. And my understanding is you will find a very similar teaching in pretty much all the different spiritual paths. I'll start, as usual, by reading an article from Benjamin Graham's master, and this one is called The Laws and Rules of Life. Since time immemorial, men have known of and expected the coming of a great teacher, an outstanding man of wisdom and revealed truth. Cyclically, age after age, have these great ones come forth. Today is no exception to this cosmic law. As the new era dawns, men stand expectant as never before for a sight of the great teacher who, though they know it not, is already in men's midst. Throughout the planet, old and young, poor and rich, make ready for his announcement, his declaration of mission and purpose, his tryst with mankind. As the old century and era wind to their close, men's minds are quickening to the new energies which will fashion the forms of the new civilization and impose their qualities on the consciousness of men. These qualities of synthesis and fusion, tolerance and goodwill, harmlessness and brotherly love, will in time bring the race of men to the manifestation of its destined glory. Thus shall it be, and thus shall men enter again into their age-old covenant with the divine. Little though they may know it, men are on the threshold of a reawakening to the very meaning and purpose of their existence. It is, in part, to see men safely through this period of trial and test that their elder brothers, the Masters of Wisdom, are returning openly to the world. With their great leader, Maitreya, the world teacher, at their head, they will inspire the creation of the new, more appropriate structures which will allow men to live and work together in peace. From that peace will manifest a creativity and resource unlike aught seen before. Men will learn and understand the subtle laws which govern their lives, the basic law of life, the law of karma, of cause and effect, which controls the destiny of all. The related law of rebirth, which makes possible the journey of the soul in matter. The law of harmlessness, which governs right relationship. And the great law of sacrifice, by which all evolution proceeds. Through an understanding of these laws, men will come to resemble their mentors, their elder brothers, and to demonstrate the divinity shared by all. They will hearken to the teaching of the wise ones and, step by step, inherit their birthright. Men are born to become gods and naught can change that destiny. The timing only lies in men's hands. Soon the world will know that the one for whom men wait is now among us. Soon indeed will he show his face and beckon men to his side. calling for justice for all, will the great Lord stake his claim to the right to teach the laws and rules of life, the sacred path by which men become gods. And that article was given through Benjamin Krem by his master in November 1999. The rest of the program is going to consist of excerpts from the book My Transmission, Volume 1, in which the law of karma is described in a fair amount of detail. I'll start, though, with a portion from the introduction to the book. And it goes as follows. The Christ will affirm the slow, gradual evolution of man through the process of reincarnation, also called the law of rebirth, and through our understanding of this law and its relation to the law of cause and effect, also called the law of karma, will come the sure basis for the establishment of right human relations. We will come to understand that our thoughts and actions from moment to moment set in motion causes whose effects make our lives what they are for good or ill. So we will see the need for harmlessness in relation to others, a harmlessness based on the will to good expressing itself as goodwill. The rest of these excerpts that I'm going to be reading out are taken from an edited talk transcript. I think this is from about 1986. And again, as I say, this is from Benjamin Krem's book, My Transmission, Volume 1. In the East, broadly speaking, people believe in reincarnation and, correctly, in relation to the law of karma. Unfortunately, even in the East, the law of karma is seen from an erroneous point of view. Of course, here and there, both in East and West, there is a correct interpretation and approach to the idea of rebirth and its close connection with the law of action and reaction, cause and effect. In the East, most people believing in the law of karma accept that they are who and where they are because of their actions in a previous life, which is true. But unfortunately, they think they can do nothing about changing their particular situation, which is not true. In the West, we tend to think that we are totally in control of our destiny, and to some extent we are, but that there is no greater law governing our destiny, which is not true. There is a misunderstanding East and West about the law of karma and its working out through the law of rebirth. Eastern people believe that if they are poor, hungry, miserable, indebted to the landlord with hardly enough to feed their family, there was someone really terrible before. They believe it is the law of karma because they were so bad, nasty, horrible, such low-grade human beings in their past life, they deserve the misery they are in now. They believe that it is the teaching, and they believe because it is the law of karma that there is nothing they can do about it. They accept it totally, fatalistically, as their due according to the law. They also believe that if they accept their lot meekly and try to be good, they will be rewarded with the higher status next time round. If there is one thing which has kept the Orient or the Eastern part of the world down in terms of its living standards, its social happiness, social democracy and equality, it is the acceptance of the law of karma on that basis. There is nothing to prevent the untouchables of India from transforming their lives except the acceptance that their untouchability is due to their misdeeds in former lives. Some kind of balance has to be reached, both from the Eastern and Western viewpoint, in approach to these two great laws. One, the law of karma, or cause and effect, and the other, the law of rebirth. Every thought, every action that we have and make sets into motion a cause. These causes have their effects. These effects make our lives for good or ill. We are now, have been, and will go on making our lives from moment to moment. Sooner or later, the causes set into motion by our thoughts and actions will produce effects which will rebound on us, and we will experience that as good or bad karma. When it is uncomfortable, we call it bad karma. And when it is good karma, when life is comfortable, easy, we do not notice it. We take it as our right, our due, because that is what we expect life to be like. People really only talk about karma when they mean bad karma. It is important to realize and remember that we do actually have more good karma than bad karma. Like all laws, the law of karma is under the control, the jurisdiction of certain entities. In this case, the Lords of Karma. The Lords of Karma are like cosmic judges. They look at this action and reaction of causes and effects which we set in motion, and they regulate this according to our needs as evolving souls. Our souls incarnate in a personality with a given structure of energies, rays, which relate to the karma and the possibilities of that particular incarnation. The souls cooperate with the laws of karma to decide, you might think, what pain or pleasure we will suffer in any particular life. That, of course, is precisely the wrong way to describe what happens. The soul is not at all interested, nor are the lords of karma, in our pleasure or our suffering. These are simply psychological reactions to events. What they are interested in is the working out of the law, the cosmic law of cause and effect. Also, the soul has its own purposes for every given incarnation. It provides itself with a vehicle, the personality, with its mental, emotional, and physical bodies, which will provide the possibility for its intentions being achieved in that particular life. That purpose might not be achieved, but the soul provides the possibility. The soul lives ever in hope. The ultimate aim is to live life in such a way that we make no personal karma. We can do that either by being perfect or by being dead. Since being perfect is much more interesting than being dead, most people accept the premise of trying more or less to achieve the soul's purpose and staying to the last possible moment to do so. Thus, we work with this burden of karma which we have ourselves created in the present and past lives. We try, consciously or unconsciously, to become perfect. We have no control over the events of life. The only thing we can control is our reaction to these events. So the aim is to achieve such a measure of detachment from events that we can control ourselves. In this way, we cope with the burden of karma in any given incarnation. This is not a case of sitting in a catatonic stupor so that we do nothing and therefore create no karma. What we can do in every event, in every situation, is distance ourselves from that event, looking at the event as being out there with ourselves here and not react. In this way, we gradually create an impersonality in relation to life, a detachment in relation to events, where we become indifferent to whether our karma is good or bad. Correctly seen, evolutionary life is a gradual renunciation of the lower for the sake of the higher. As the soul in incarnation, a high level of divinity is incarnated at a lower level of divinity. The journey to perfection, the evolutionary goal, is the gradual renunciation of those lower levels by embodying at the lower levels the higher, becoming more and more what one essentially is as a soul. Two things are going on at the time of this process. One is the gradual spiritualizing of the vehicle by the soul. The other is the burdening of the vehicle intentionally by the soul to burn up ancient karma. As the soul progresses in its incarnational experience, so its reflection, the man or woman in incarnation, receives a heavier and heavier burden of karma, until in the last incarnation of all but one, in one in which the person will be a fourth degree initiate, the burden is at its heaviest. People imagine that as a man or woman progresses in evolution, he or she should become freer and freer of karma. The opposite is true. Not only that, but as a man or woman becomes a disciple, becomes initiate, a world server, he or she takes more and more of the weight of world karma. They are the upholders of the world. Their shoulders are, and need to be, broad. Imagine a bridge over a river, and the river is the world and its karma. The disciples and initiates are the pillars of the bridge, and the spaces in between are the masses of people. Where there are spaces, the water flows easily through. The pillars of the bridge take the force of the flood of the water. In a very real sense, the disciples and initiates of the world support the world. That is one reason why the life of the disciple is, from the average man's point of view, a very difficult life to lead. But, of course, the disciple is governed by the great law of service. Under this law, disciples and initiates come very frequently into incarnation to serve world need, and to finish off this earth experience as quickly as possible. Not to get it over with, but to serve the better. The more advanced a person is, the more he can serve, the more useful he can be to the world. So how do you get rid of karma? How do you deal with it? You cannot give it away. It is too heavy. Nobody wants it. So what do you do? How can you cope with this burden that limits your activity, your joy, and your happiness? There is a very simple method, and it's called service. Service is the way par excellence for getting rid of karma. Of course, it does not get rid of it, but it burns it up. The process is something like this. As you serve, you draw to yourself energy. By giving out energy, you get energy back. That is the law. Basically, it is the law of love which governs our nature, without which the universe would not exist. It is, of course, in another sense, the law of cause and effect itself. As you give love, you set in motion a cause, the effect of which is the return of love. The law itself sets in motion its own fulfillment. As we serve, we demonstrate love. As we demonstrate love, by law, we get love. That strengthens and potentizes the individual in a way in which he can deal with his own karma. As the person progresses in love and service, he is automatically distancing himself from the effect of events. The events take place, but they have less and less effect on his psychology. And it is hard, difficult, painful to live in that way, this attitude of c'est la vie, but we really have to live with that attitude. The law of karma is a great binding law, but it is benign. Nobody receives more karma than their soul and the lords of karma know they can usefully handle. Some lies for some people are very hard, very painful, very limited indeed. But from the point of view of the soul, this is probably intentional and useful and productive. In that way, you are burning a burden of karma from the past, and greater progress can then be made. Our development proceeds thus in cycles, and I see we've run out of time. So if you'd like more information, check out that book. You can find information about Maitreya's Mission Volume 1 on the website share-international.org. Thank you for listening, and wishing you all a lovely week.